A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around there that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? It's so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Our readings this weekend provide a delightful segue from the season of ordinary time to the season of Lent, which starts on Wednesday. In the Gospel according to Mark, we've heard the stories of Jesus as his ministry has begun. In the last few weeks, he has healed the sick with various diseases, driven out demons, not shied away from encountering those who are outcast. And in today's Gospel passage, he does something new that sets in motion the controversy that will lead to his death on a cross. "Your sins are forgiven." They sound like simple words, yet as anyone knows who has ever heard them from another or said them to another, there is nothing simple about them. They are profound words of healing, of transformation, of love. And ultimately, as the scribes were well aware, they are words of God. "Your sins are forgiven." The Gospel demonstrates the power of these words in a number of ways. First, for the paralytic. It is faith that has brought him to Jesus in the hope that he would be healed, and healing he receives in more ways than one. The healing of his heart becomes evident in the healing of his body. Every time I celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation, I too experience the power of these words, the healing that is offered in forgiveness. I enter into the sacrament feeling as paralyzed as the man in today's scripture by the burden of my sins. But once those words of forgiveness are uttered, I feel as if I am made new, and I can rise up off my mat of guilt, of fear, of insecurity, and I leave the sacrament unbound. I walk out practically leaping at the healing that God has done in me. "Your sins are forgiven." The power of these words is heard among the scribes. We can almost hear the incredulity of their hearts as they listen to Jesus. Who does he think he is? Forgiving sins? No one can do that but God. In the irony of their accusation, they identify who Jesus is. He is God, doing something new. There are any number of situations where our initial reaction is that there is no way forgiveness will be given to us for something we've done or be offered from us for a hurt we've endured. What our faith calls us to is the awareness, the trust and belief that what seems so unforgivable can be and is forgiven only and always in and through Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is the fruit of our desire and prayer to see God do something new that leads to transformation in those areas in our relationships, in society, in the church, and in the world where so much pain, sorrow, and hurt have been inflicted. Your sins are forgiven. The power of these words and their impact on the crowd. Flabbergasted at what they have witnessed, of seeing a paralyzed man being lowered through the roof, of hearing that his sins were forgiven, of seeing him rise and pick up his mat and walk through their midst. The crowd responds by glorifying God. There are countless examples that any one of us could probably tell of how we too have stood in awe and given praise and glory to God when we have witnessed forgiveness in our midst. Perhaps one of the most profound stories I am aware of was from a few years ago when a horrible shooting occurred at an Amish school in Pennsylvania, and 5 young girls were killed and others injured. Instead of blaming and demeaning the perpetrator's character, the Amish community offered forgiveness to his memory and reached out to his widow and children, even to the point of offering them half of the donations that had poured in for their own schoolgirls. Such an act left the American people in awe, marveling at the love that forgiveness demonstrated. The key to forgiveness is in having the courage to go to Jesus just as the man who was healed did. The coming Lenten season gives us a great opportunity to do just that. Far from simple, the journey, if we are open to it, can be a profoundly transformative, healing, and loving experience of knowing that indeed our sins are forgiven.